Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Command and control, trust and inspire versus command and control. So trust is huge. When we can trust people, you see, that's so big. When you don't trust people, you try to protect yourself, right? And you can't protect yourself. That'll wear you out. When you trust God and know that you put those people in His hands, right? Then, hey, the Holy Spirit will show you who you really want close into your life and who's going to really get close into your life. And that happens through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you have fruit, you know what you're eating, right? I'm allergic to some fruit. So that's the idea. You can understand that. We talked last week about Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at this. Paul was in a place in Asia, a place that he had never experienced before in this trouble he was in this mental anguish he was under. In other words, his emotions were coming against him in a way that he just didn't know how to handle it. I mean, and so that's the way it is right now. Because see, I'm going through things. I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I've been pastoring here for almost 25 years. I'm going through things I've never been through before. But you see, God has given me wisdom on how to handle it and how to walk this walk. And he has wisdom for us. And so this is the idea that no matter what's going on out there, God has an answer, a solution for you. So we got to really pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And Paul was in this, he was under this mental anguish because of his emotions. Your emotions will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. You see, your emotions are where your soul is. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So that's your soul. When your soul isn't resting and it's fatigued, it's because you're not allowing Jesus in to help you at the guidance of your soul. He says, come to me, all of you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. If your soul is fatigued and upset all the time, it's because you're not going to Jesus. Only Jesus. He's the one. He's your source. Can really allow your soul to rest. Now, this is significant. So when you got this anxiousness, you ever heard of triggers? Emotional triggers? Something will trigger you and they want to run. Sometimes I'll be preaching here and somebody will run out of here because they've been exposed. See, the Word of God will expose areas in our life. You see that? And it'll show you an area that God is not pleased with, and He's trying to help you so He can help you in that area of your life. And they'll run. You don't want to run. You want to stay here and let God do His work in you. Because that's what he's up to. He's trying to help you out in this area of your life. Now, think about this. Psychologists call emotions where, you know, you get triggered and you don't know where they come from. Paul had some sniper emotions. You see that? It's like a sniper working on you because there's something in an area you haven't dealt with yet. So they're attacking you. Things are coming from you, and you don't know where they're coming from. But the Holy Spirit will show you where they're coming from. If you pay attention to him, he will help you. And you can begin to walk in a way, them snipers can't hit you anymore. Yeah, I don't care what kind of triggers you throw out. I'm not running from this. I'm running to it. I'm running to my answer. Amen? Am I making sense? Now let me read this to you. For we, Paul was in this position in Asia. He's coming back to the church, speaking to the Corinthian church. For we do not want you to be ignorant. See, the word ignorant means to ignore. When you're ignoring, you see, you want to pay attention when you come to a place like this. If you pay attention, it won't cost you so much later. But if you don't pay attention, it's going to cost you more than you can afford later. So the idea is we don't want to be ignorant. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we're to not be ignorant of the devil's devices unless he takes advantage of us. You see, when you're ignorant, the devil can take advantage of you, and he doesn't care about you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. The idea is when you're not ignorant, you have an advantage over him. You see that? That's why Paul said, don't walk in the ignorance of the Gentiles. You see that? Don't walk in the futility of your mind, having your understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of your ignorance. We don't have to be alienated from God's life because of our ignorance. We're going to get closer to God because we're not going to stay ignorant. Amen? So now look, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. That is the word adophilus, which means from the same womb. So we're all, if you're born again, you're from the same womb here, spiritually. Born again, born of the Word, the Word of God. You've been born not of the corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God. We're all from the same womb, the spiritual womb. Now look, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. He was experiencing trouble, and he couldn't even measure it. He couldn't even measure it. And we got our interpretation going up here again, and that's okay. So just know that. We're just tickled pink. We got some folks here from the other side of the world, right? And they're learning our language and getting saved. And you understand? And singing up in here, you see this? That's the church. Right. Now watch. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. In other words, he said this, the word above is that word hooperbol. That's the Greek word, not Super Bowl, hooperbol. And that means that he didn't have the strength to handle this thing. This is strength I've never had this kind of strength. I need this kind of strength. I'm going to die. That's what he was thinking. He was under this mental anguish. He thought he was going to die. Now look, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. The word despair means without hope. In other words, they had no hope of life because of this anguish they were under. Now look, yes, we had the sentence of death. That means the verdict is out. We ain't going to make it. We're not going to make it. This trial is doing us in. We're not going to make it. But that's not true. That's what your emotions will tell you. You see that? That's what your emotions say. Oh, you aren't going to make this. You're not going to get through this. Yes, you will. You keep coming here, you are, amen? Yeah. You're going to make it. You're more than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Not principalities, not powers, not anything, not demons, not anything can separate you from his love, amen?
Right.
If God's for you, who can be against you?
Right.
Watch this. That we should not trust, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. See, he was only thinking in himself. He was doing command and control. He was trying to control it. Now look, this is Paul, the leader of 13 books of the Bible, in the Holy Spirit writing this, but he's showing us how to handle this. Now watch. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In God who raises the dead. The resurrection. You got the resurrection power in you. If you're born again, amen? Now, so that's what he resolved to that. Now, let's go on and look at this. After he decided, I'm going to this God who raises us from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You see that? The word deliver means to rescue, to set free from a trap. In other words, he was trapped in his own emotions. You see? But when he trusted God, he was set free. You catching this? You got to look at this. Keep looking. Now look at this. Next one. You also helping together in prayer for us. He was connected to the church. They were praying for him while he was in Asia. You see this? They were praying. We need each other to be praying for each other. You see that? We need God and we need each other praying for each other. And that's what he's saying. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. It was through many, through God and trusting God, and through many, he experienced the deliverance he needed. You see that? That's why we need each other. We're praying for each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to hang in there because we're going to get what God has called and created us to. Amen. And when we tap into that, there's nothing going to compare to it. Amen. And let's look at this. Here's what I'm trying to help you see. Give me 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now, remember, I told you all my years of ministry, pain is going to come from people. It's because of the choices you make. You paying attention to me? So we have to understand, it's not that people are bad. It's because you just need to be aware God is calling you. You see that? He wants you to be aware of who you're allowing into your life. Now look at this. And being ready. Now wait a minute. Just before, in verse 3 of this scripture, you don't need to go there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You paying attention? Now watch. And this is the next verse. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I hope you're paying attention. Here's what he's saying. You see, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is coming against you. Against what you believe about God. You see that? Every high thing. That's why we got to renew our minds. You got to renew your mind and you got to mature. You got to grow. Every high thing that exalts itself against bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now watch. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Where does the pain come from? People. Now emotions are something I want you to pay attention. Henry Cloud has this little exercise, and it's one of the most profound exercises for marriage. Supposedly, it's helped more marriages than any other exercise. Here it is. Mad, sad, glad, and scared. Those are your emotions. Mad, sad, glad, and scared. Paul was scared and facing something he hadn't faced before. But now listen to me. You're facing things you haven't faced before. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it comes from people. And you know what? Sometimes you've got this war going on in your head, and you haven't had a conversation with this person that's warring in your head. You see, we got to have conversations with people. You paying attention? That's the whole idea. When I understand my emotions, if I'm sad, I go to this person, okay? I tell this person, I need a revelation from you, and you need a revelation from me. Here's the on the table. You're not the problem. I'm not the problem. Here's the problem. This makes me sad when you do this. Okay? So now you're giving them a revelation on what they're doing and what's making you sad. So what happens is they get the revelation. They don't do it anymore. And so you're not so sad about what they're doing all the time. Well, here's what I've done. I have people come in my office and marriage counseling, and they'll say, well, they should know. I've been with them for 20 years. They ought to know what I'm thinking. No, they don't know what you're thinking. Huh? They don't have a clue what you're thinking. Well, they ought to know. They ought to know where I want to go out to eat. We've been married for 20 years. No, they don't. You need to tell them.
Preach.
Am I making sense? You see, you got to have a conversation. Now they get the revelation. Now watch. And you hear it. Now we can make this thing work. I'm trying to put this in simple terms. This makes me glad. This makes me happy when you do this. Okay. Well, now they're going to do more of what makes you. See, that demonstrates that they really love you and that you really are in a healthy relationship. But if they don't ever do or make any adjustments, what you've shared, there's a war going on. Am I making any sense? Now look what he says. So here's what happens. Somebody's not treating you biblically. They're not stewarding their life in a healthy manner. Look at me. And it's disobedience. Now look, when your obedience is fulfilled, what's your obedience? You need to contact that person and talk to them. Have a conversation with them. Am I making sense? When you fulfill that obedience, their disobedience gets punished. You know how they punish you? God leaves them alone and they hurt themselves. Is this making sense? And you know what? You're going to stay healthy. But you have to have a conversation with people. Here's something you really got to pay attention to. You got to, if you have this need to be understood, get rid of it. That's a pity party. You ever get around people? They just don't understand. They just don't understand. Get that out the door. Everybody has gone through something. Am I making sense? Everybody has. And you know what? We don't need to be understood. God understands. And when he understands and you get on board with him, he and the Holy Spirit is going to use people and he's going to help you get to where you need to go.
Hallelujah.
See, sometimes people, they want to be understood because they think nobody's gone through what I've gone through. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. My dad wasn't there. My mama. We all have things. Remember? I've told you, it doesn't matter where you were conceived. It doesn't matter if you were conceived in a yellow Volkswagen with flowers on it and the floor busted, rusted out in a thunderstorm under a bridge at 3:00 in the morning. Your parents got together and you showed up. But God has a plan and purpose for your life. And he wants you to win and he wants you to become all he's created you to be. You see that? And a pity party and this needing to be understood, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. And the need to be liked. That's called people pleasing. When a man, you see, when you try to please people, that's the fear of man. The fear of man leads to death. Separation from God. When you're always trying to please people, see, you learn that in church. You got to understand. You see this? Am I making sense? There's some people, they're always trying to please people. You can't please people. How do you know? Well, I've learned that. Am I making sense? And the Bible tells me. So did you catch that, what we just said? So if you got a war in your head with somebody, call them up, talk to them, do something. Or forgive them or whatever you need to do. And that war will cease. But that's robbing you from maturity and going forward if you're not careful. Am I making sense? Well, maybe it's a stronghold from some tragedy or some trauma that you had in your life. You can get healed of that right here in the body of Christ. Am I making sense? That's what the body of Christ is all about.
Amen.
Now watch. You got to learn to discern. Now, we must learn to discern who gets close to us. The number one reason we get hurt in relationships is not that we let people get close to us. It's that we let the wrong people come alongside of us. Did you hear that? You better know who's walking beside you.
Amen.
You better know who's getting close to you and what they're saying to you and about you in your life. Paul was telling Timothy, the problem is not people. The problem is that you are allowing yourself to get too close to the wrong people. Because people are just being people. God's grace and encouragement helps us if we learn to endure. How many of you know we're going to suffer in this life? You're going to suffer. Those who desire to be godly will suffer persecution. The will of God, when we do the will of God, it's going to bring an element of suffering in our life. But the suffering is always a trial that God permitted to allow you to be in that trial so your development can come, so that development will make you strong when the next trouble shows up. That's what a trial comes for. You pass the test, and now you have enough faith for the next trouble that you're going to have to face. Doesn't mean you're not going to ever have troubles. You're learning how to handle them. You're learning how to respond and being mature in your responses. Sometimes we're our worst enemy on how we're responding towards people and towards things. Now, if you become bitter or critical of God, if you rebel instead of submit, then your trials will work against you instead of for you. The ability to endure difficulties, hardships, patiently without giving up is a mark of spiritual maturity. Did you hear what I just said? And you can read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. God has to work in us before he can work through us. It is much easier for us to grow in the knowledge than to grow in God's grace. So we can come here and have notebooks full of knowledge. But if we're not applying it, and we're not obeying the Holy Spirit when we're going through something, then there's no grace involved in that. Grace comes to get into your character. See that? We're saved by grace. Amen. Grace comes. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Grace gets in your character. You see that? When I decided something about Donita, you know, I watched her life. Timothy said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, you need to pick new people. You need to pick faithful people. Faithful. Not qualified. Not perfect. Faithful. You see, I was over there and having lunch at Mary's house. And Donita was there, and all of a sudden, just like, you know how you kind of get a little, I don't know, if what do you call that? Anybody ever experienced that? Goosebumps. Kind of like in high school, you know, you butterflies. We'll call it butterfly. But anyways, I left and I thought, boy, she's a... And then I started thinking, she every week, back in the nursery with the kids, every week helping out. Saturday night, Wednesday, always here taking notes, serving, takes care of her mother, always going and taking care of her mother, taking care of Olivia running around, little Olivia, just a little kid. And you know, I saw that. You see this? So pay attention. This is going to help you right here. This is huge. Add a little extra to it. So now, what happens was, when I saw that, I thought, I can trust this person. She was safe to be around in her character. Her character was safe. And so now, if she's safe, I can invest in this person. And they're not going to turn their back on me when I need them the most. They're going to be there when I need them the most. Are you listening to me? They're going to see all my imperfections. I can invest in this, and it's going to pay some dividends. Are you with me? Am I making sense? When you understand that, you start to discern the people that are around you and the people you allow into your life that get close to you. Come on now. Because here's the worst thing. If you're looking for somebody and you have a need, if you're all needy, you'll pick the wrong one every time. See, I wasn't needy. I'd already had it. I ain't going to get married. I didn't think I'm going to pastor this church till I take my last breath. I was happy as a goose in a hailstorm. Well, they aren't too happy, but but here's what I'm trying to show you. When you find somebody you can trust, it's because they're safe in their character and you can invest in that person. And it's the fruit that they're serving up is what makes you invest. Did you catch what I just said? Amen. It's the fruit that they're bringing. So what happens is you give them access into your life. everything about you because of the trust. You see this? Are you getting what I'm picking up or what you're picking up? Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? I said it the right way. I was just making sure you're listening. See, intimacy is not because you have the same last name. People in your family. People in your family, sometimes, they don't understand you. That's why you've got to understand you. And they don't have the call on God on your life like you do. You need to know who you are. Sometimes people say, well, I've had people come here, oh, you can trust them. That's my sister. They've been, that's my sister. I was raised with, oh, you can trust. You think stuff comes up in me like, okay, I understand things. Sometimes your family will go against you. Your last name, it don't matter. And they're not concerned with the will of God. If you're concerned with the will of God, you're going to go through some stuff. But it's always for the good. You hear me? It's always for better. It's always for better. Now, that's really the way it is. And when you're going through something, you're going to get to the better. Because God is in it. You can be going through something and be happy. You see that? Because you're in the kingdom. And you're living out of that kingdom. That kingdom is in you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's coming out of you. Now, here's what happens. People get hurt, so then they run. I've seen people come here and get hurt. And they never took time to grow. They never took time to mature. They just run. You know what that is? You're running from what God is trying to help you with in life. You see, if you understand, I'm to run to the church. Because the church is where God is, and that's where his voice is. Now listen, you paying attention? Here's what happens. Remember, self-pity is something you don't want. Now watch. But when we begin to wallow in self-pity, suffering creates isolation. See what happens? They come to a place like this, and their emotions are challenged, and now they begin to experience a level of suffering that they haven't experienced, or something triggered, and they run. And so they want to isolate themselves. See that? And isolation creates uninvolvement. So now I don't want to be involved. I want to isolate. And now what happens when you isolate, you build walls around yourself instead of bridges. You build walls instead of bridges. You see? So now you're building a wall around yourself that's actually keeping you from being healed, keeping you from going forward, keeping you from becoming all that God created. And you build it because you ran when God was trying to get your attention in your life in this trial to help you get to a healthier place. You say you build walls instead of bridges. We're supposed to be bridge builders. We are bridge builders. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, we're a royal priesthood. The word priest is the word pontifex. I'm pontificating right now. I'm a priest up here ministering God's word.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.